You are your thought. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. You are your thought. Each one of us has the privilege of enjoying life or not. Each one of us has the privilege of having any experience in life or not. Each one of us has the privilege of being ourselves and having fun or not. Now, Rex over there is entertaining little Love, and little Love says, I'm taking a nap. So Rex has to go do something else. So Rex wags his tail and comes over to Ingeborg and says, Ingeborg, you pet me for a while. And I really enjoy this, you know. And so he just lays his head over to be enjoyed. And I see he's being himself and having fun. When one source of amusement ends for him, he goes to another. Now, I see Ellen as a master being. I see Ellen fully in charge of her life. I see Ellen saying to herself when she arises in the morning, I am the creator of my world. I am the master of my circumstances. And she stands there and she stretches out her arms and says, what a wonderful body I have. And she looks at her mind, we can, you know, and she says to herself, what a wonderful mind I have. I am so brilliant. I am so fabulous. And then she thinks of her world. Her world first is her two dogs. And Button and Love. She thinks of them, and she surrounds them with her pure white light of love. Then she looks at her house, and she says, she wiggles her nose, you know, like Bewitched. And then the house is completely dusted, completely clean, completely immaculate, you know, everything in its perfect place. And then she goes about disarranging it and making breakfast for the puppies and stuff. So then she goes out into the gymnasium and she gets into the jacuzzi and soaks for a few minutes. And then she lays on the chi and she shakes herself all up. And then she takes a swim for a few minutes. Then she gets on each of the four exercise machines. And by the time she's done, she is just a limber chick, you know, just feeling so fantastic, ready for a wonderful walk with her babies. Now, everything she does, she's in charge of it. Now, Ellen has a tendency to remember and think about other things like other people in the world. And so she thinks about the students that she's working with. And she sees each student doing beautifully. Each student doing their work so marvelously that they're living it and believing it and breathing. Every student she has is just a prince or a princess, you know, just doing excellent. Now, those are those people. And then there are some other people that she doesn't care as much about. And these are called her blood family. And her blood family, like her kids and what have you, she looks at them and she says with a flip of her hand, you're home, perfect. Go enjoy yourself. She doesn't enter into their world because her blood family has not chosen to be part of her spiritual or mental family. Spiritual, at least mental family. They haven't chosen to take the studies that she is training people in. And so they have a different role to play. And it's a role that she allows them to go and do and be whatever they want to do until they get in trouble. And then she says to them, now just a minute. Nobody in my world gets in trouble. Everybody in my world is in ideal balance. You understand? Everybody. And so the next telephone call comes and says, Mommy, guess what? I went to see the doctor today, and he says, I am in perfect health. And the other kid says, I went to the doctor today too, and I'm in perfect health. And all the kids, the grandkids, and the other relatives went to the doctor, and they're in perfect health. Now, Ellen didn't need that report, did she? She knew that. She knew that, because that's the way she created them. And so, you see, they don't have any freedom. They have no freedom of their own to be anything but whatever Alan creates them. Perfect health, happy, harmonious experiences, a joyous, fulfilled life, you know. If they want to have any misery in their life, they have to get out of Alan's world. Now, how do they get out of Alan's world? Well, they get out of Alan's world when they cease to communicate, when they cease to participate. And then they go off and do their thing. But the minute they come back in Alan's world, for any reason, they're home perfect. I mean, they may have been having a real rough time while they were out on their own. But the minute they come back in Alan's world, they're whole and perfect. And of course, they're whole and perfect because that's what Alan is. That's all Alan knows, is to be whole and perfect. That's all Alan understands. Alan is too ignorant to think that there could be anything else. And she wants to remain that way. Totally oblivious to any other type of creation than perfection. Now, that's not bad. Now, Sylvia is another pussycat. And her world is a little smaller than Ellen's, but a little bigger. She has very productive brothers and sisters and relatives. They produce just like popcorn. Kids, 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 kids. Family, family, family. And so Sylvia has a tendency to listen to them and their tales of interesting stories of what they're doing. And she feels that sometimes that's too bad, you know. And then other times she's happy for them, and sometimes she's sad for them. Now, when she's sad for them, then she's not the master. When she's happy for them, then she's the master. And is Sylvia always the master? Well, just a minute now. Just a minute now. In my world, she's always the master. In Ellen's world, she's always the master. In everybody else's world, she's always the master. But is she always the master? She can hide and not tell us things and play her game of limitation, and then she's not the master. Now, what would Sylvia tell us? What's the only thing Sylvia could tell us? All is in divine order. That's the only, all is in divine order. That's all Sylvia could ever tell us. And because Sylvia, no matter what she says to us, since we're in divine order, it has to be in divine order. And so Sylvia lives in her ideal life, in her ideal spirit, mind, and body, in her ideal circumstances under at all times, and she just is having a ball. Now, she hasn't yet claimed to be a master, because a master doesn't have down periods. A master doesn't have, you know, times when you don't quite make it. And we don't see that in her. See, a master doesn't see that in anybody. They only see the uptimes. But she tells us sometimes she's down. And so we never tell anybody that we're down. We always tell everybody that we're up. And then we'll be up. Now, so Sylvia has just one more door to go through to be her master self. And she can't find the door. She doesn't know where the door is. And why is she having trouble finding the door? Because it's within her. And when you concentrate on the outer, you don't realize how much it is within you. Now, Sylvia, I'm going to do like I do with some people. They have to have a tooth pulled, you know. Some people have to have a tooth pulled.
What's a tooth?
A tooth. Ah, a san.
And san gets so big.
Ah,
yeah, come on, God. Yeah, a tooth. Yeah, see, sometimes I don't understand other things too. But anyway, so I tie a string to the tooth. Verstehe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I put the string on the door knob. So
and then you slammed it.
When Sylvia is ready to go through that door, then I slam it. But you see, with Sylvia, she wants to go gentle. So I've tricked her. I put the string on the door, which is the last door through which she goes to express her divinity. Not bad, huh? Now, If Sylvia wants to untie that string from her tooth, she might lose her way. But you don't have to. You don't have it, the way is still there. But you see, sometimes we think that having your tooth pulled in that way might be a little bit, you know, stressing. But think about it. If that tooth being pulled led you to your spiritual revelation or whatever, you know, it might be interesting, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Might be interesting. You know, you're in the swimming pool, and you got your finger caught in the drain, and the pool is full of water, and how are you going to get out? Well, you're going to snap your finger off, you know, and you're going to come out. You're going to give up your finger for your life. And then you can go down and get your finger later and sew it back on again. But you see, these are things we have to sometimes be aware of. We have to let go of things that we're hanging on to that limit us. But Sylvia's just got that one little door to go through, and it's not an Alice in Wonderland door, big and small and big and small, but it's just a door. Now, Ingeborg, she has a door to go through too, but Ingeborg is living in bliss. Ingeborg is living in her own perfect, beautiful, quiet, peaceful, joyful world. And Ingeborg made a mistake when she built her quiet, peaceful, joyful, wonderful little world. You know what she did? She put a window in it to look out on the rest of the world. And every time she goes to that window, oh, does she get in trouble. She sees all the things in the world that are not any of her business and that are not anything that she should concern herself with, and it disturbs her. Oh, the war, oh, the hurt, oh, the this. No, 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 you know. Let it go. And every time I come and want to put drapes over that window, she won't let me. And I wanted to send a mason in and brick it up, and she wouldn't let me. And so I wanted to dissolve the window and have it just be no more. And she grabbed it as it was going and said, no, no, that's always kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of nice to see that stuff. But you see, this is what we do. Now, Ingeborg, this is the problem. You are fabulous, beautiful, mastership in every way, not a math, but a mastership. Now, when you can let go, like Sylvia with her tooth, you know, when you can let go of that window and then looks out and sees a relative world, then, it'd be nice. Right. Then you live in that inner realm of absolute bliss and perfection all the time. Now, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, okay. Next time I come in, try to plaster up the window. Don't get mad at me. You know, you're taking away my view. You're taking away my view. There's a beautiful ocean out there. The sun, the moon, the stars are out there. The children are out there in play. All the good things on earth are out there. And all the judgmental things, too. But you see, when we go inside of ourselves and stay there, there are no children, there are no stars, there are no moon or thing, but we can have them if we want in our mind. We can create them as an illusion, which they are out there too, but an illusion that we are fully in charge of. What kind of a kid do you want in your life? Hmm? You want one that is absolutely perfect, loving, gentle, kind, and courteous, and you know, like Paul in miniature, you know, and even that could be improved upon, you know. But you see, these are things. And when you can let go of that, of the need for that, all of you are so hung up. You're so hung up. You're still going around showing pictures of your family. You're still going around showing pictures of your relatives from long ago, not from now. You know, not from the latest pictures, and then you look at them and you throw them away. But you're looking at it from a long time ago, and you know it. And what's one of the worst things for you to do? It's look at a picture of yourself from a long time ago. Because then you are right back there. You are right back there, and you're thinking, And that's where you belong, right back there with your thinking. Live in the now. Live in the now. When I walk in the sun and no clothes and just enjoying the warmth and just walking around the meditation paths here, I feel great. And like Anita said the other day, and she says, isn't it neat not to have to wear clothes? Isn't it neat just to do your thing in the sun like this? So beautiful, so, right? It's so innocent, so pure, so refreshing. Wouldn't you say that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, now for Heinz. Heinz, in my eyes, is absolutely fantastic, pure, perfect, and good in every way. Now, when Heinz is with me, I look at him and I see the glowing image of perfection in everything he does, in everything. But I know he gets angry at me. He says, how can I keep doing this for 28 hours a day? Now you're up to 30 hours a day. How can I do that? Well, don't question me. Just do it. We have a handyman, nice guy, Brian. And when Brian feels like it, he can put in a good day's work. When Brian doesn't feel like it, he puts in a quarter of a day's work, maybe a third. But if Brian were to put in a good day's work all the time, he would start a pattern. Can Brian, if he is urged, if the proper motivation, put in 3 days' work on one day? Mm-hmm. Easily. He thinks ahead. And he organizes his pattern, and he does these things. He doesn't just make one trip here and one trip back and one trip here and one trip back and one trip here. He thinks of it ahead. He got the whole thing organized. He can do 3 days' work in one day. Fantastic. But only because he knows he can. Now you, I'm giving you a rush job here. You can do, what did I say? 28?
30.
You can do, see, he remembered too. 30 hours of intensive meditation, 30 hours of intensive introspection, 30 hours of intensive realization of who you are, whole and perfect, fantastic, revealed in every way. Not bad, huh? For starter. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right now, you can do that. Now, it takes a little bit of rush. Now, you have a tendency to walk along casually, to sort of amble through life. And if you were ever motivated to be in high gear, you could easily do three days of work in one day. And I don't mean physical work, that you could do too, but I'm talking about the mental work. I'm talking about the, not panicky, you know what I mean? But so intensive. I like me. Ooh, I feel so good. Ooh, ooh. And get your whole body to vibrate with the joy and the power and the magnificence. Did you feel it? Mm-hmm. Then you can do that. Now, you say, I'll wear myself out. Ha! You'll wear yourself in. You will be able to do that all the time. You go home to your wife and she'll say, my God, what did I get back here? This dynamo of perfection. But she won't even notice that you're changed. She won't even notice you're a dynamo of perfection because it'd be the most natural thing in the world. She doesn't remember what she sent away. All she remembers is what she's getting back. Mr. Fantastic, which is the same guy she sent away, only more so. But you see, this is up to you. This is up to you. You want to gain this spiritual awareness, the spiritual illumination, right?
Right.
So, go for it. Put a little bit of pizzazz, a little bit of gumption in there, a little bit of enthusiasm in there. Yes, 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 yes! Like the mother with the $30 million offer. I love you, I love you, I love you! Unconditional love, so powerful. So, she did not remember the past. She really didn't remember the past. She didn't remember that she had a husband and a kid and a house. That was just there, but nothing else. Nothing else. She didn't remember that she hated to cook. Because now she was in love with her family and she loved to cook for them. She didn't remember that she hated to do the laundry. That's why her kid never put his clothes away and never got washed. But, you see, she didn't remember that. That is all past. And that's what I want to teach with you guys, that it's all past. Now is what we live in. And now is the only important thing. And that's all that matters. Okay? Got it. Anita!
Yes.
Yes, yes. You're the tag end here, along with the dogs and the cats. You're in good company. Now, Anita, you came here to be part of our family, which you never were not part of, and you have brought with you a few desires in your heart. Nothing major, but just little things that are ready to be fulfilled. And so they're not going to be fulfilled because you keep holding them in your heart. Oh. Now, what you want to do, but this is not a recommendation or suggestion, this is just an order. What you want to do is to let go of the past and live in the present. Anita, if you can do this, you're a fabulous woman, you're a fabulous girl, but if you can do this, then you will be an illumined soul. But it is not a normal thing to do. It is a normal thing to be, but not a normal thing to do. And again, it comes with the same thing that everybody else is talking about. It's letting go of the past, living in the now. And if you can train yourself while you're here to so completely live in the now, to so completely do whatever you're doing and think whatever you're thinking and be whatever you're being right in the now. And there is no path. What did you want done, Ingeborg? You never ask a question like that. You'd say, Ingeborg, I'm here to work with you. And then together you do it. You don't say, what did you want?
Yeah.
You see, it's a subtle little thing. And you don't say, Ellen, you got more things for me to do? You just say, Ellen, I'm here. You know? Aren't you lucky? you're so happy with yourself. You're so proud of yourself. You're so filled with yourself, but in a good way, you know? And you give, which it means it's coming out. And pretty soon, all of the past, everything that you ever had in the past, when you go back to New Zealand, will there be a car there? Sure. Will it be the same one? Maybe. Are you the same person? If you're a different person, if you're a lumen person, you may have an upgraded model, you know. But hey, you know, it doesn't matter. You've got a lot of those things beautifully in tow. Now you want a few more. And you see, then you catch up with Heinz, and you catch up with Ellen, and you catch up with Sylvia and Ingeborg. Now, how can you catch up with them?
We are mirrors of one another.
All the country that we catch up with.
We are all masters.
We are all one.
Because then they will be what you are and you will be what they are, because that's all you can see.
Yeah.
That's all you can see. You only see another master.
Yeah.
And this is what I would like each of you to enjoy and be and experience now. And it's great. Mm. Are you ready for it? Now, this is not a lot of foolishness. This takes a lot of hard work, sweat, tears, and guts, you know, because you want to hold on to the past. And so the moment you can let go and just live in the present, wow, life is so wonderful, you know, and it is so wonderful. But the past is what tears us down every time. And Time magazine puts out books, the World War I, World War II, Korean War. Oh boy. And people buy it, by thousands, you know, 100,000. And they live in the past. Now, every time they live in it, they bring it back. And they bring back the unhappy memories. They bring back the unhappy relationships. They bring back the unhappy relationships with Germany and with Japan, you know. With Korea and all this. It's a silly thing to do. Let's live in the present. One world. And we are that world, and it is beautiful and good and wonderful. And now, with that, take it and run with it and have fun with it.
Fun and fun.
Because you want it. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
Love you.